making times, great men are ever on the move. Military strategists, government officials, and scientists are searching their respective fields for greater and more effective steps toward victory and peace. As we approach our own D2 of 79 Wistful Vista, we find this great man also searching. Sarah McGee and Molly.
Hey, Molly, where's my cigar?
You mean the three for a dimers or the cheap ones?
I mean the expensive ones that come wrapped in those aluminum test tubes. The one Mayor LaTrivia gave me when he was running for election back in 1932.
Oh, those. Well, they're right where you put them, in the humidor, in the icebox.
Oh. Well, I'm going to go get them. I better put some root beer on ice, too. Second company.
Who?
You know Harlow Wilcox?
Yes.
You know that cousin of his he's always talking about?
Oh, you mean the one in the Army who was at New Guinea?
That's the one. I got Wilcox to promise me the boy'd come over here when he got home, and now he's home.
Oh, that's wonderful. But why are you so anxious to see him, Diddy?
Oh, you wouldn't understand, Molly. It's a case of one veteran to another.
Oh, yeah.
I remember how I felt when I came back from the last war. It was a big war. Done me good to talk to someone who understood the military problems.
McGee, you know about as much about today's military problems as Robert E. Lee knew about dive bombing.
Oh. Is that so? Well, baby, do you know who played one of the big roles in the vital drive for Chateau Thierry? Do you?
Yes.
Who?
General John J. Pershing.
He couldn't do it alone. Who helped him?
Oh, a couple of million men. I don't remember all their names, though.
Well, surely you remember one certain private whose initials were Fibber McGee. Oh.
That's right. You were one of them, weren't you?
You know doggone well. I come pretty near being a hero, too. Why, me and my friend, technician seventh grade, Fred Mitney, from Star Rock. Fred and me were out on a reconnaissance patrol.
Waterfront patrol?
Reconnaissance patrol. That's like when a fellow has a blind date and he looks at pictures of the objective before he takes her out.
Well, what's a blind date got to do with it?
Nothing. I'm talking about reconnaissance. Well, there me and Fred were. Suddenly, through the murky haze of early morn, we spotted an enemy observation balloon.
Oh?
Now, quick to flash, Fred and I hit the ground, and we inched our way towards the big Hitler.
Hitler?
Yeah, that's what we call a big gas bag. Well, sir, by now we were within Springfield range, so at a given signal, we both blazed away. We caught the crew of the blimp with their plans down. They all had a bail out. The blimp folded up like a 79-cent beach chair, and one by one, the crew parachuted down.
Oh.
Old Fred Mitney rounded them up while I kept them covered. We would have won the Congressional Medal of Honor, except for one little technicality.
And what was that?
The men we captured were all on our side.
Heavenly days, McGee. What were they doing in a German blimp?
Well, we didn't realize it at first, but that was ours, too. Later on, when... Oh, that's him now. Come in.
Hello, you're Mr. McGee, aren't you?
Sure am, son. Fibber McGee, and it's a pleasure to shake the hand of a fellow fighting man. You don't know how glad I am to see you back from the combat area of the Pacific. Chester, come right in. Now, this is my wife, Molly.
How do you do?
How do you do, I'm sure.
See, you got some stripes on your arm. How long does it take you to make corporal?
Oh, I'm a master sergeant, Mr. McGee.
Oh, just a kid, huh?
Won't you have a chair, son?
Thanks.
How about a cigar?
Thank you, sir. I have one.
You got two? Thanks. Here, let me light you up with this old lighter of mine. I brought it back from Paris.
France?
No, Illinois.
Well, I suppose you brought back a lot of souvenirs from the Guinea car.
No, I didn't.
You mean you didn't bring back no battle flags or helmets or anything?
No, Mr. McGee.
Not even one of them Harry carries?
No. No. I didn't have the stomach for it.
Ah, well. I suppose you were too busy fighting to run around collecting souvenirs, eh, Bud? What particular battles were you in?
Well, that's something I can't tell you now.
Oh, you don't have to be modest with me, son. I know how you feel. I was in the last war. The big war. Yes, sir, and it does a fellow good to get these things off his chest. How many Japs did you kill?
Well, quite a few.
A few? Well, I guess that's not so bad, although I myself in the last war personally accounted for none. Getting back to you, Sarge, they're building up some places you could. In the newsreel, I think, you couldn't even see the scenery on account of all the palm trees you saw. I'm very interested in the building on account of I used to be with the engineers.
Army or railroad?
Army. Why, my outfit built one of the first platoon bridges.
No, you mean pontoon, dearie.
Platoon.
Pontoon. Platoon is a bunch of men.
That's what I said. I and a bunch of men built it. But son, about how many planes did you say we lost in that?
Well, we had a lot of battles, so I...
That's been pretty clear.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. McGee. Don't go starting any rumors.
Oh, don't worry, son. I'm not taking any running jumps at conclusions. Last time I tried it, I sprained my back.
Ain't funny, McGee.
I'm out of practice. It's been a long time since I've done it. Look, I got some private information that you fellas had a new secret weapon all day, Frank. That must be a dilly.
Boy, you haven't read anything about it in the papers, have you?
You didn't get around very much, did you?
No, I'm afraid not.
McGee, maybe he doesn't want to talk about those things. Where are you going after your furlough, Sergeant?
Yeah, where are they sending you?
Well, I really don't know, folks. I haven't got my orders yet, and even when I do, I won't...
According to what I hear, you can look for a big sneak attack on Tokyo Drift. Everything's going to be coordinated perfect, just like an Errol Flynn picture. What do you think of that?
Well, it's hard to tell, Mr. McGee. I'd like to sit here and discuss the war with you more, but I have to be running along.
So soon?
You're entirely welcome to come back anytime you want, Sergeant.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mrs. McGee. Before I leave, Mr. McGee, I've got something I'd like to tell you.
Yeah? Yeah?
Well, in this war, the Army's got a new watchword.
Oh, no. What is it?
Silence means security. Goodbye, Mrs. McGee.
My, my, what a nice young man.
Boy, is he a clam.
Clam?
Yeah. He won't say where he's been, where he's going, what he's done, and he just won't say anything.
Well, dearie, I think he's modest, or else he has a good reason for not talking.
Modest, my clavicle. Why, when I come back from France, I had so much to say about the war, I sat down and wrote 5,000 pages telling all about it from every angle. And I wrote the whole thing in longhand, with a quill pen.
Well, what happened to it?
No, I never did get to finish it. My quill started molding.
Oh, I wonder who that can be.
We'll soon find out. Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hello, Molly. Hello, Snoopy.
Hi, Junior. What's the idea of calling me Snoopy?
I just met my cousin down the street, and he said he was in here talking to you. Or rather, answering you.
He wasn't talking to McGee, Mr. Wilcox. McGee was talking to him.
That cousin of yours is really not very observant, Junior. He don't seem to know where he was, where he's going, what he's done, or who he's seen.
Oh, don't be silly, pal. Of course he knows. He's just too smart to come back to this country and start popping off about things that are important to our military security.
You know, that's what I tried to tell McGee, Mr. Wilcox, but you know him. He's as nosy as a tax assessor.
Oh, my gosh, the kid might have said something. I could learn more about the war from a free Pearl Harbor issue of a seed catalog.
Look, chum, anything the armed forces consider safe to release, you can read in the newspapers.
Oh, yeah? So I got to pay dough to find out what's going on, do I? My guy, a soldier or a sailor, could tell me for free.
I think Mr. Wilcox is trying to tell you, Gary, that you mustn't ask soldiers military questions, even innocently.
That's right, Molly. No smart soldier talks about where he's been, what he's seen, or anything else the enemy would like to know.
They want everybody to think they're dumbbells?
Better keep quiet and be thought a fool than start talking and prove it, unquote.
Look, pal, everybody is interested in what the soldier's been doing. But if it's against the rules, a good soldier buttons his lips.
They can talk to a friend off the record, don't they?
Look, in wartime, there's no such thing as off the record.
Oh, sorry.
I'm very proud of my cousin, Fibber. I know his heart's in the right place, or he wouldn't have done what he's done. And he doesn't shoot off his mouth, so I know his tongue's in the right place, between his teeth. You remember that hunting trip we went on, you and I?
Oh, I remember that very well, Mr. Wilcox. You came back with a bear skin and 12 fish, and McGee came home with sugars and ivy poisoning.
Yeah, but that's okay. But what's that got to do with the subject?
Well, I was just thinking back. I kept warning you not to leave an open bear trap around the cabin, but you paid no attention. And then you got caught in it yourself, remember?
Yeah, but what's that got to do?
Well, that should have taught you, pal. There are times when it's best to keep your trap shut. So long, pal.
Well, maybe I was wrong, huh?
I'm afraid you were, McGee. When you're talking to a soldier, you've got to remember one thing.
What's that?
Just because the enemy is all ears doesn't mean he's a jackass.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service. I said I'm